What's going on, Base Nation? We're back at it again here with myself and Callan, Base Nation Academy podcast. So we're just kind of shooting the breeze, talking about different topics that a lot of people talk about and discuss. And we would, just kind of want to chop it up and discuss our thoughts. And Callan has a lot of experience, as well as I have a couple of years of experience myself, just playing bass and just being in the industry, period. But one of the topics I want to talk about, if you guys haven't seen the last episode, please go check that out. We talk about almost everything. So it's hard to get a subject on what we talked about. Just go look at it. Anyway, so this week, we're talking about the importance or the difference between learning professionally, I guess you can say, or just school-based, or just being able to read and learning music that way versus only being able to play by ear. Now, this is completely different sides to both. A lot of people grow up and are not able to play by ear, and they only rely on technicals. So I just wanted to get Callan's take on it. I know where I'm at. I know where I stand on it. What do you think about, even being in school yourself, even literally right at the moment, being in school, music school yourself, what do you say? Because I know you can play by ear too. I know that. But what would you say, the dynamic is? What's better? Is it a better thing? Is it a worse, what is it?
Yeah. Oh, it's tricky, man, because there are so many of the great players that I think came from both sides. Oh, God. You start out, early on when, higher music education wasn't really a thing.
Right.
And there are some real monsters who just have the ear. And I know of some modern day players who are at the top of the scene and can absolutely shred and they can't read.
True.
And so they aren't mutually exclusive, and you can have one, you can have the other, you can have both. But I like the reading side. I like the educational aspect. I'm biased. I go to music school. I spent a good chunk of change getting that education. Right. So I'm trying to be like, this is worth it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You went to music school, yeah?
Just a funny story. I kind of did. What school are you? You're at
I'm CalArts, California Institute of the Arts.
That's right. And how long you been there?
This is my fourth year. So
okay, so you're right. You're about to be sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a lot of experience with that. I don't, like, as far as being in college, like at a collegiate level, I don't have a lot of experience with that. Now, I did go to a performing arts high school, but those two things are like night and day, right? Even with dealing with bass, because the community college that I went to for a year and a half, I didn't finish, by the way. There were no teachers. Like, there were no specific, like, bass teachers there. There were certain classes you can take, and it just kind of felt like regular music class like you would take in high school or middle school. But in high school, I did coach a performing arts school, and it was the same thing. I started off in concert band playing the baritone, It was very random. I don't understand why I did. I think because they just kind of assigned me that instrument in middle school when I was playing band. So I've had experience playing and reading other instruments in that setting, but I wanted to play bass, man. Like, I wanted to, I went there and it's like, okay, you can't really play right now because we have a bass player in the jazz combo or whatever they had at the time. So I had to kind of wait, but I auditioned on bass. And on top of that, man, I think I got lucky. My sister and my brother went to the same school. So it was like, So it was like, yeah, my brother's coming in. He plays bass, blah, blah, blah. They heard me play. I really didn't technically have to audition, but yeah, I did. And I didn't even play bass until like 11th grade, like my junior. Yeah, 11th grade. So even then, I was still learning myself. There was no different transition as far as learning the bass itself but I had already started my journey of learning music, you know, just reading music, understanding what it was, but not having an idea of how to translate that to the bass. So that's my story as far as school goes. And then when I went to college, I did do like some jazz. What did I do? I did jazz performance, I think. And I think I had a couple theory classes. So I can't even remember. It was so long ago. But yeah, it felt the same way. I felt like I wasn't being taught my instrument. I just felt like I was being taught music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a good, totally. It could be a good thing and a bad thing at the same time, because I had all of this knowledge that I had to say, okay, I had to go home and say, okay, let's buckle down. Let's try to put two and two together. And it's one thing learning it on paper, and it's another thing trying to connect the dots and putting it on your bass. So that was the journey that I had. It was more self-discovery and research of my own to be able to put all of these things that I was learning, technicals, into place. Now, even with a music school or music college, I have no experience. So let me know and other people know that maybe wanting to go to college, and I'm not saying I didn't go, because I just it's bad. Like, I just didn't go. Like, it just happened to not go. But what is it like now in a music school? What are you studying? What are you majoring in? What are you like, how is that process? Because I don't even know. I just know Berkeley guys that go to Berkeley, and you know, it was it MI? No, not MI.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Musicians yeah. Institute. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's interesting because there's a big split, and I was talking about this with a lot of people when we were choosing to go to music schools and high school, and you know, there are so many people that choose to go down that rabbit hole and kind of get stuck. You know, there are a lot of people who go to music school and then get really caught up in the education side, and you know, that's not really where I saw myself going. And I think kind of the goal for music school for me was to drop out, you know, not really, but it was kind of was like, it was like, if you're, you know, in your fourth year and you haven't had, you know, tour experience, and you haven't had, you know, you haven't gotten out to do anything, then it was like, uh-oh, you know, like, because that's, for me, music school was all about finding people who are like-minded, finding other musicians that I could play with, you know, and that was the big draw for me. Because I also,
man, it's interesting that you say that. Like, you saying the goal. So your goal, or is that a lot of people's goal? Because I don't know. Maybe because I wasn't that kind of person. I didn't. You know, the tour life thing isn't technically for me, even though I have done it somewhat to a, you know, degree for a long period of time. I didn't necessarily want that to be the goal, but would you say a lot of people that go to music school, is that's their goal, to say, hey, I eventually want to stop doing this so I can venture out and tour? Or is that one of the big goals for everybody?
I think going in, that was a lot of people's goals, but there are also, I mean, especially at the school that I go to, there are a lot of people who, you know, there are a lot of people into composition and a lot of people into, you know, making their own thing. And so that's right. It's hard to just go out and tour when you're on your own.
Right.
So, right. There are a lot of people that I know who are really pushing their own projects and doing that, which is super respectable and great. But, I talked to a few people in high school. I remember, that was kind of a group goal, was for all of us. Like, we all got to get on tours eventually. Hopefully we can do that in college. And then once I got there and after I started touring, I kind of realized like, oh, I can do both, you know, because it'd be nice to get a degree, just a backup, you know, probably a good thing to have, but I mean, I don't need it for what I'm doing. I feel like I've kind of gotten to a point where I don't need it anymore. I could kind of fall back on other things, but I also, the other side is I love the education aspect. And I didn't think that I was going to love that going in.
Gotcha.
You know, I went into school with pretty much no theory knowledge, all ear, all, you know, pentatonic minor. You know, I was like, here we go.
All day.
And, you know, I can play pretty fast, so let's go.
Yep.
And, Yeah, no, it was a big punch in the face when I
Yeah.
got to school
Oh,
and took the
I'm
theory
sure.
exam.
I'm
You
sure.
know, but started out in like the fundamentals class, you know, with all the kids who don't play instruments, you
Right.
know, and but then it started to click, and I started to understand kind of the purpose of theory because I just didn't understand how I would apply it. You
Right.
know, going in, it was like, I don't really need to learn all this. This is for, you know, guitars, piano players, chords. I don't play chords. You
Right.
know, but once you start to understand, like, oh, tritone substitutions and secondary dominants, then you're like, oh, that's cool. Like, if I could throw that in, and that, you know, I mean, the bass note could change the whole chord. You
Absolutely.
know, it changes the chord function. So, you know, once you kind of nerd out about it can really help your sound. And plenty of people can do that without the theory knowledge, and they don't even know what they're doing.
Absolutely. Have no clue, but are actually implementing what that is, what those technical terms and, theory, and have been probably doing it for years and don't even understand that that's what they're doing.
Yeah, there was a clip.
But even grasping like the knowledge of saying, okay, now I have the ability to do this, it just makes you stretch and think even further. Like,
Totally.
just
Yeah. And it makes me think. I mean, there was that one clip we put up a couple years ago now maybe, but it was Damo, great, fantastic bass player, and it was you breaking down a lick that he had done. And he was in the comments and he's like, thank you for explaining this because I have no idea what I'm doing. You know,
He's
this
hilarious, man.
came to me. But I remember hanging on to that and being like, wow, that's so cool. Like
It's
to be able to just.
some of the best freaking musicians, man. And it's funny because Bubby talks about this to me too. He says the same thing, and he says, man, he said some people understand it and know how to explain it. He said, man, I couldn't tell you what I was doing. Like, he said, I have no clue most times. He said, I couldn't even tell you in a way that you could kind of break it down theoretically. But a lot of people rely, it's not that they're saying that they can't or they don't know what they're doing. It's just that it's an ability to be able to explain it and, just kind of convey the message over to the audience or to whoever's learning in a way that they can understand. They have trouble with doing that. Totally get it because I was the same way. I haven't always been good at being able to explain stuff, but they totally lean on how it feels, how it sounds. You know what I mean? Like they totally lean on that. And I love that aspect of players because it allows you to have so much creativity. You know what I mean? Like some people, I feel like that only play just by reading or have only played technically. They're kind of robotic in a sense. You know, they don't allow the creativity to take place because this has to be correct. Like this has like and they're so technical to the point where it's like, man, open up just a little bit. Give some of your own sound and your own flavor in there. And it's like, man, it's like a blessing and a curse because, if you have both sides of it, I say this all the time. If you have both sides of it, it's like a freaking explosion. It's like it's crazy to be able to gel both your theoretical knowledge and your own personal flavor and sound and playing by ear. And you just blend those two together is absolutely freaking amazing, man. But yeah, somebody like Damo and like Bubby, they say that all the time, man. Like, I'm glad you explained that because I don't know what I was doing. I just sounded good, but I love that. You know what I mean? I love it. That's like, how would you come up with those lines or create stuff like that if you just only went technical? You know?
You can't.
No, you can't do it. So that's what kind of leads me to, and it's funny that you said this, and I'm glad you're saying this because this is the debate. This is not even debate. This is the question that I get as a teacher all the time. Like, what's theory going to do for me? Like, how can I implement this? Why do I need it? Especially being a bass player. It's like chords. Why do I need to learn chords? And like you said, secondary dominants and like tritones and, different chord structures and, it's like, why do I need to learn this? But once you start getting into it, it's like, oh, I'm about to be dangerous now. Don't let me learn too much. Don't let me learn too much. But that's how I was, man. My mind just completely open. And I thought the same thing. I was like, man, I'm a bass player. I don't need all that stuff, man. I'm just playing the bass line. But once I went to a com I went there, I went to a completely different level. completely different level. And I'm just glad you're saying it, because people look at me like I'm crazy when I'm talking about cores and I'm talking about, you know, other things like that. So you get it. You get it. You understand. So totally. I get both sides of it. I just haven't had that, you know, college experience, or just, I kind of wish I had, but I at the same time, I kind of like the self-discovery that I was able to get just from experimenting. And I say that all the time too. But just being able to put two and two together, man, when you get taught those things and, you know, having those light bulb moments that I talk about all the time. Now, into your plane, that's what I wanted to ask you too. In further into your plane, when you started learning theory, you started getting comfortable in the class, started learning these different things, was there a light bulb moment? Was there just like a click? Like, was there a process, like a slow curve, just like, okay, I'm kind of getting it now? Or was there something that just kind of went off in your head? Because a lot of people ask me that, like, okay, when did it click for you? I can't really explain a click time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I think the closest thing I have to that was kind of the idea of being able to play across the neck, just really fluently, you know, any scale, just being able to move that anywhere and not think about it. Nice. But that also, you know, that wasn't a click. That didn't just happen overnight.
Right. Right.
You know, but it was that initial, like, oh, it's all connected. You know, I could play my C major scale. I could start on the low E, you know, and I could play all, you know, below the fifth fret, and then I could shift and then, yeah, I mean, I probably spent 6 months or a year just every day in every scale, you know, majors and minor, everything, and all the modes too, because it's all the same shape.
Yeah.
But once you can see, you know, because what I was seeing was one major scale shape, you know, starting on that middle finger and
the 2-4-1-2-4-1-3-4.
Exactly. And I would see that, and then maybe start on the first finger and have the, you know, go up thirds that way.
First position. Yep.
And then I kind of was like, if I learned all of those patterns and did every single one of them in every position on the neck, and then I just kind of randomly join them together, my brain will create a pattern that is the size of the entire fretboard.
Absolutely.
And that was a moment. I mean, it took a long time to get there. And that's the thing about practice too, is something I realized in music school was I really loved to play, and I thought that playing was practice. You know, I throughout high school, I was playing hours a day and saying that I was practicing, you know, and in a way it is practicing. Surely I was getting better, but yeah, practicing hurts, dude. Practicing was, you're sitting there with the bass and you're going, is that right? Is that, how does this go? And you want to quit so bad because it hurts.
Yeah.
And physically it sucks. Yeah. Physically your hands are cramping up. I mean, it sucks.
Yeah.
And people don't really talk about that aspect of it because, you know, but you can tell too, when you're playing with people, you're like, oh, you put in the time, you felt some work. Pain to get there, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's funny, man. You talk about, I want to stay there for a second. You talk about practice, and I have a, you know, philosophy, I guess you could say, on practicing. Now, what you call practice, you said you weren't really practicing. You said somewhat it was practice. Now, when you talk about that, I say this in my story all the time. And when you talk about that, I think of myself when I started playing, and I was playing every day nonstop. I'm going to jump back and forth here, but I was playing every day nonstop, hours and hours a day, because I just love to play. Right. But that was practice to an extent. That was more of a familiar practice. It was more of I wouldn't even say stamina. I guess you can say practice. It's more just kind of mind muscle connection type of thing. You're literally putting in the time with your bass to be comfortable playing your bass, right? And you have to put in that time to an extent. But when you get into specifics, when you get into certain patterns, into certain scales, into certain phrases and things like that you would practice, or now that's a completely different section of your practice routine. So it all comes together. It's like the mindless practicing that you're doing. It's not technically building you up theoretically, right? It's just like a muscle thing. It's like a lifting weight. I'm just getting used to my base. Now I'm getting comfortable. But I can be comfortable and still have no clue what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, I can be comfortable totally. With playing, but have no clue of what I'm doing. So there's two different sides to practicing. And I always get this question a lot. How long should I practice? And I've talked about this numerous times before. A lot of people would ask me, how long do I practice? You know, how many hours? And, you know, how many times do I play this one scale or that one scale? Like, you really have to want to do it. And like you said, it sucks sometimes. Like, you really have to want to. Like, time will go by. You won't even realize. Like, I couldn't count the time because I didn't really care. You know, whatever time I had available, it was just put to practicing. That's just what happened. When I had to stop, I just stopped. Like, I cannot give anybody a certain time, and I almost hate that question, only because everybody's so different. And even now, even with you, like, even with touring, with school, with everything you do, even here, you know, working here at Bass Nation, like, it's you have a certain amount of time that you have that you can even practice.
Yeah, for sure.
So whenever you can get it in, you get it in. You're not counting like, okay, put my timer on 10 minutes. All right, 15 minutes. And, right. You know, I'm done with my one scale. It just doesn't go like that. But I completely understand people's need and want to have some type of structured practice. And I always say learning things and playing the things that are the most difficult, that's the practice. That's the valuable practice that a lot of people don't get, because they shy away from the difficult stuff. Like you just said, man, it's like, yo, this hurts. Like, I want to quit. I want to stop. Like, F this bass. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but you have to get past, you kind of have to get past that. But that's the difficult part. Like, and the weird thing about me is I absolutely love that part.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of, you know, separates those guys that are just hardcore bass players, or just, you know, kind of wanting to do it just because it's something fun to do. Like, I wanted it. Like, if it's something hard for me to figure out, we just did it not too long ago in a live stream class. I would take all day long or several days to figure out this one part. Like, if it's something crazy and I have never played it before, like, I have to, that challenge is a turn on to me, man. Like, seriously. Like, for real, I can't get enough of that. And that's why I've been able to still, you know, I guess strive to get better. I don't know if I have been, but at least strive to get better year by year as I'm playing, man. So that's great. That's a great point you made as far as practicing, man. That is super important to understand. That's why I kind of wanted to go back to that. Like, a lot of people just don't spend the right time practicing. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm playing. Yeah, that's sort of the practice, but you got to play the things that are the most difficult. You have to.
Yeah. And I mean, the inverse too is, you know, I mean, going to music school, there's a huge community of practicing, right? I mean, we got all the practice rooms and, you know, and you go down and, man, I have friends who live in the practice rooms.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I was talking to a dude last week, and a good friend of mine, and he had a sleeping bag, you know, and he was like, he's like, yeah, he's no joke. And he's like, yeah, I'm just going to be here as long. I was like, all right, wow. Yeah. Maybe I'll stop by later. See how you're doing. You know,
it's funny, man. Like, the college that I went to, it was a community college. We had practice rooms too. And like every free class or in between class, whatever, like it would have like either a bass amp in there or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a piano. It was always a piano in there and an amp. So I think one of my buddies had Jerome Flood. I did a couple videos with him. Crazy drummer. He would say, Derek, let's go to the practice. Like, even sometimes I didn't even feel like going, but this dude was like, I want to practice all day, every day, like nonstop. He carried his sticks in his hand. He was one of those guys.
Yeah.
But me and him would go back and forth. So I would be playing with this, you know, with my friend, this drummer, crazy drummer, being able to put those hours in, man, and just any free time that I had. And that's a whole nother level of practicing too, being able to practice with other people, You know, iron sharpens iron, man. Not only with the same instrument, but I was practicing with somebody that played drums. I would practice with someone, one of my good friends here, John Fawcett. He lives here in Rochester. He was the MD for, or the keyboard. I don't know if he was MD or not, but he played keyboard for Bruno Mars. I think he still does.
Yeah.
So me and him would go back and forth, like when we just had free time. So I would like practice and challenge his brain. He would challenge mine. Like we would go back and forth playing like Chick Corea stuff and like all this crazy stuff that he knew. And I was like, man, okay, I got to play that. So we challenged each other, man. And that's super important to understand too, because you need that other iron to sharpen yours. And I love that. I love that aspect as far as, you know, being able to learn from others, not only just other bass players. Because some people just only like, okay, I'm only going to practice with bass players. If I just want to get better, I only practice. Well, okay, well, wait. If you practice with a drummer, now you're practicing on your time. You know what I mean? Like, if you practice with a keyboard player, now you're practicing, like, being in tune or playing your part as a bass player. You know, just leading off of him, like filling out. If you practice with a guitar player, same thing. Like, okay, now I've got to play these bass lines with his guitar riffs or whenever he's soloing or something. Or these chords. It's so many different things you can do. And I've rarely practiced with bass players. I think that's what kind of elevated me super quick. And yeah, those practice rooms are gold, man. Utilize that, man. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Something I love to do is just play with people who are better than me. You know, that was something I went into college with that mindset of like, let's find the best people that I can play with. And, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, I remember when I first got to CalArts, within my first week or two, you know, there was some guy and he was like getting his master's degree in like jazz piano or something. And a friend of mine that I had just made was like, hey, I know this guy, he's about to graduate. Apparently he's really good. We should do a, you know, a little trio, you know, just in a practice room. And I was like, oh, great. And, I remember showing up and the guy was just like, all right, you know, standard, you know, jazz, just speaking another language,
hey, completely,
you know, just saying like, just calling out a standard that I had never heard of.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know it? And I was like, oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah. You know? And he's just like, all right.
I'll follow you, man.
Yeah. 6-7 and just starts just shredding. And I remember just falling on my face and trying to keep up and going, you know, what am I doing here? And he's going, solo.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
All right. Over these crazy chains, I don't know. And he's playing these inversions that are like, I can't even hear what he's doing anymore. These extensions. I'm like,
you just blacking out.
You know, I don't even know what the root of the chord is.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just playing these random notes. He's playing these random, and I'm playing these random notes, and he's going, like, it just sounds horrible, but he thinks that I'm doing it on purpose.
Right.
And, I mean, that's the jazz thing, but. I remember coming back from that rehearsal going, okay, I gotta learn my standards.
I gotta get on it.
So it takes that kind of experience too.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. And that's good.
Yeah, what you're saying, you know, iron sharpens iron. So find some really good other players and that that'll just get you going faster.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's funny, one thing that I'll mention, I won't, you know, we won't make this too long, but we'll come back and talk about it. They've got so much stuff to talk about. It's not even funny.
Man.
But in the gospel community, they have different things called sheds, right? They have, I'm sure you've seen them. I'm sure a lot of people seen them. They call it gospel sheds. They're not called gospel sheds from the gospel guys, but they're just sheds. But they're just sheds where they get together and they, you know, share ideas. You know, it's a bunch of drum sets. Mostly it turns into a drum shed most times. But, you know, you got keyboard players, you got bass players, you know. And the sheds that I went to, for some reason, I was always stuck being the one bass player there or playing. I don't know why. It always happened like that. But I'm not anyway. But I was able to play along, you know, with these crazy musicians, either drummers or keyboard players, and just experiencing that and being in the same room, not saying, okay, I got to play a gig with these guys, but there were opportunities to where anybody, you know, it was open mic night, basically, to where anybody can kind of get on, like, hey, you play? Okay, come on, let's, you know, do a couple rounds with us and or whatever, you know, on this groove. And I think that really sharpened a lot of people in the gospel world too as well. Not only just growing up being around it, but being able to communicate freely, being able to fellowship, you know, freely around the brothers or sisters that you had inside of the gospel arena or in even in the church or just, you know, regardless of where you were. Even guys that weren't in church, you know, they would come to these sheds and just kind of play. And it was just somewhere we had it, you know, it was just held there most times at churches. But I think that really sharpened me as well.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, crazy musicians that I got to be able to play with super early in my process of learning. And it just opened my mind up, and we would do different things. We would like, okay, now, all right, shut that groove off. Let's do a 7-4 groove. I'm not 7-4, 7-8. Let's do a 7-8 groove. Now on top of this, see how you can play along with this. So the drummers will be, you know, be playing in 7. It's like what? Like, what do you expect me to do? Right. So it was that on the fly type of thinking, like, okay, totally. Now. And then they will look at me, okay, create the bass line, and then we'll go off of that. I'm like, why me? Why? Like, but it was that on the spot. It was that humbling moment when somebody gets on or another bass player gets on, they're shredding their. It was like, man, okay. It wasn't a hate thing. It was more like a, okay, I gotta step it up. Well, okay, what was that you just, okay, let me show me what you just, you know what I mean? So it was a whole community of that. And it was awesome. It still happened from time to time, and not as much as they used to back in the day. But yeah, man. So, I mean, let's piggyback back to the original comment.
Yeah.
You said you had to pick a side. If I'm not mistaken, I think you said, "I hate to pick a side." I hate to even say that, but you know, you guys get what we're talking about. It's good sides to both sides. There's negatives to both sides. You know, I think they, you know, outweigh each other. You know, kind of weigh the, you know, totally. Kind of weigh the same. And but I'm biased because I learned from ear. I'm biased because I love the fact that you can play freely and express yourself in a way once you play by ear versus, you know, technically only learning and being able to play and read music. But ultimately, the goal is to be able to do both and gel them together.
Totally.
That makes the greatest musicians ever.
Ever. Yeah, to I me. Agree.
To me.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, man. So let's wrap it up, man. So guys, if you have not seen the last episode, we'll be doing this weekly. If you want to talk about any certain things or topics, feel free to put them in and suggest them. We'll kind of, you know, look through them and we'll probably talk about all of them because I'm sure there's a lot. But yeah, just kind of put them in, let us know, and we'll chop it up and we'll talk about it. But, you know, meet us in the next one and comment your suggestions down below. Me and Callan, out.